You feel like you want to get born again, 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 and again. Amen. Good job, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. It's that song we're singing, Goodness of God. That's a song that Debbie and I had, we used for her to come in on the day we got married. The goodness of God. And God has been so good. Every time I look at my wife, I think about the goodness of God. And that's the way we should in any relationship. Every time I look at the people of Westview, I see the goodness of God. Every time I see the people of Light of the World, and boy, do we see a lot of those coming and going, don't we? But I think of the goodness of God. And so anything that we do in our lives, it should be to be thankful for the goodness of God, because He is forever faithful. And in that, never, never, never is He going to let me down. Never will He let me down. Everybody say never.
Never.
Say a little louder, never.
Never.
Say a little louder, never.
Never.
Never will He let us down. So when you're walking around someday and you feel like the goodness of God isn't following you, because the Bible says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, you just say, never will it stop following me. Glory to God. The enemy would like you to think that way, but he's just an outright liar. Amen. I asked my wife Debbie to greet you guys today, and I may let her speak a little bit later on. I've got to kind of hold her down a little bit. But we do, and I know that sometimes you see different things happen in people's lives, and this has been a really good thing that's happened in my life, is that we've been brought together, and for such a time as this, and we don't always understand that. We both had great, great marriages before we ever knew each other existed, really, and we understood and understand the goodness of marriage and the strength that comes from it. And for us, this has just been so wonderful. But anyhow, I'm going to give this to Debbie in hopes that she'll tell you how great I am. Now you're speechless. Now you're speechless. Yeah. You don't have to go there. Yes.
He really is good. I don't have to tell y'all that, but he is a very great man, a good man, a wonderful man to be with. He's brought a lot of joy to my life and laughter that I haven't had for a long time. And he kind of draws it out of me every once in a while. I'll say a funny, and I laugh more than he does because it's so rare that I can have a funny. But he has done me so good, and I'm just so thankful. Y'all are very, very blessed to have a good man, a good husband to Miss Sandy, and to be a pastor, your pastor, and stand steady, stand strong in this day, in this hour. I thank God He is an anchor.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God is His anchor. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is His anchor, and keeps him steady, keeps him strong, so that he can be strong not only for his life, his family, but for y'all, and bring forth the light of God's Word, and we all stand tall. Yeah, we walk in here, we may be doing fine when we walk in, but we walk out even stronger.
Yeah.
We may not be doing so well when we first walked in, but I tell you, there's revelation for you. There's help for you. That even one word from God can change your situation, or at least one more step, give you another step what to say, another step to go, another step to do. Hallelujah, that'll bring you all the way through. Hallelujah. And so the life that we live, it's a life of faith. That means we're trusting God. We trust His Word. We feast on His Word. So we have, we're nourished. You know, the Bible says in Timothy that we are, in the New American, it reads it like this: be constantly nourished on words of faith. Constantly. Constantly. And so I just get so blessed when I think about coming in here, that you're not going to be fed doubt, not belief. You're not going to be fed fear, but you're going to, the fear, the doubt and unbelief will be starved, and go out, come in one way and leaves changed, leave blessed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I like her. Tim.
Amen.
Come up here.
Amen.
I want you to greet the people. Greet the people.
It's good to be back. It's 2 weeks in a row. And we're just going to keep doing it, because I'm getting stronger every day. So I appreciate your prayers and everything that you guys have done. And again, testimonies coming later on. So Yes, absolutely. So I'm just very thankful for all y'all, church family, and everyone out there that's been praying for us. So thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Every time you go through a fight, you just need to understand, bless God, we are born for such a time as this, and we were not born to lose. And I know we've all seemingly lost a battle, but bless God, you'll never lose the war. And we're winning, praise God. And I know that seems like we get out of one fight, we get in another sometimes, but that's just the enemy. Just he wants us to not trust God. And some of you may know, and some of you may not know, but little Roman James Nunnery was born into the world on Thanksgiving Day. 5 pounds, 7 ounces, 19 inches long. His name means strong and powerful. And we're in a little bit of fight with him. He's born a month premature. And they're having a little difficulty getting his sodium level balanced out. So they have taken him to Wichita. And but you agree with us that all is well. Hallelujah. And you agree with those new parents. You know how new parents are. Your heart, you never realize how much you can love someone until that baby's born. Then you go, oh my goodness. And that love's on the inside of you. And the good news is God put it there. And so we're thanking God for Roman James Nunnery, that he is the healed and whole. Amen. Because I see myself dedicating him to the Lord. Amen. Never, never will God let us down. Everybody say never. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say never. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been a good day already. I feel blessed on the inside. I always do for the most part, but I tell you that I love God because I do love God. And I love God because He first loved me. And so we can reciprocate to God and we can enter into that intimacy with Him that comes only by the Spirit of grace. And so we can enter into that love, regardless of where we come from. Amen. God loves you. You got to understand, God loved you while you're yet a sinner. Now that you're His child, I don't know about you, but I have met children of God that have messed up. Amen. Now you're not looking at one, at least right this moment. But God is the one that brings you back. And so many times when we get off into a trail of unrighteousness, we don't think there's a way back, but there is a way back, and His name is Jesus, because He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He never quits being that. Amen? Amen. Everybody say, God loves me, and He'll never quit. Amen? Guess what I brought today? Jokes, one-liners for third through fifth graders. That's me. It works really well for me. These are so good. The reason they're so good is because I can understand them. What's the nickname of someone who put her right hand in the mouth of a lion? Lefty. Right hand gone, lefty. Why did the butterfly go to the dance? Why didn't the butterfly go to the dance? Because it was a mothball. If you have a stone in your pocket, leave it there. Why was the mother firefly unhappy? Because her children just weren't that bright. Why didn't the boy believe the tiger? He thought it was a lion. When is it very bad luck to see a black cat? When you're a mouse. Oh, guys, you guys need to laugh. I'm going to read this whole book today. What kind of horses go out after dark? nightmares. They don't get any better than that. Why do ducks have flat feet? To stamp out forest fires. Why do elephants have flat feet? To stamp out flaming ducks. Can you just see the revelation in these things? What does a snail say when he's riding on the turtle's back? Whee! How many of you do not get that? This is sick. But what do you call a deer with no eye? No eye deer. How do you get a rhinoceros to stop charging? Take away his credit card. How many of you got that? Let me see your hands. Let's see. I got one more here. What has 12 legs, 6 eyes, 3 tails, and can't see? 3 blind mice. All right, I'm through. You can applaud. It's great. It is great to put a smile on your heart. Amen. It's great to laugh, and it's great to understand we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and we're never going to come behind in any good thing because that's what God says, and we just choose to trust God. Isn't that right? Everybody say, I trust God. Every now and then, you got to just on your own, just even when you're by yourself, just, I trust God. Lord, I trust you. I never quit believing you. I don't care what happens. In a sense, you know, you're not giving way to anything the enemy wants. But bless God, when you get in a fight, you trust God. You trust him when there is no fight. You trust him when there is a fight. You trust him all the time. All the time. God believes in you. And he believes in you enough that he put the channel to come live in you, to live in you, called Jesus. Jesus come to live and abide in you by the Spirit of God. So God chose, he loves you enough that he chose to come live in you. And he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Well, let's start reading in the Bible, Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13 out of the New Living Translation. And so, as we get ready to do that, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If not, you can read it up on the screen. But Father, we do bless you today. We thank you so much for your goodness. And Lord, we pause and listen to you. And we pause, Lord, thanking you for anointing our ears to hear accurately. That our mind would be open to the soundness of God. And that we would be a people that would press in, declaring that we know our God. He knows us. You know us, Lord. You know us inside out. You know the thought and the intent of our hearts. And we want you to have your way here this morning. We thank you. We give you praise. We worship. We honor you. In that name, Jesus, which is above every name. And if you agree with that this morning, you say, amen. Amen. Beginning again, we're talking about the greatest key to increase. And as I shared with you last week, Debbie and I were blessed enough to go to Branson several weeks ago, early in October. And we went to Keith Moore's Increase Seminar Week, and it was wonderful. And it had all to do about faithfulness. This stuff, a lot of the stuff that I'm ministering to you, it came through him by the Spirit of God. But what was interesting was we went there, spent 5 days going to meetings. We had one meeting every night. We saw an incredible miracle. They were believing God for $4 million that week to build some God called them porches, but overhangs for people to be driven up to the front door and dropped out. So they, if there was inclement weather, which there can be in any community, and how nice it would be to have one of those over ours out front. But God just kind of impressed, and this is the way we read it, but God just kind of impressed upon him, his son Keith, that he said, in the middle of all this chaos and in the middle of all this stuff going on in this world, I just want to build you a couple of porches. I just want to build you a couple of porches and show you that I am interested in the little things. That's what he was saying. Now, that's little to God. How many of you know? I mean, this universe is expanding at the rate of the thought of God. Some people say the speed of light, but I believe it's expanding at the rate of God's thoughts, and they're a lot faster than lightning. A lot faster than light. And so, in the middle of all this, he's talking about and giving us some wisdom on the greatest key to increase is faithfulness. And without faithfulness, typically, you can almost say there will be no increase. And so, all that week he's teaching on, and then what they have on Thursday night, they have a special offering. The whole night is really an offering to God. From start to finish, and it just happens to end up with people sowing seed into what God has laid upon their heart. And I believe God lays things on people's hearts. We've seen God do incredible things here. And sometimes I think we don't believe God enough, but we have seen God do some incredible things when it looks like there's no way to get things done. God just does it through people, and God does an incredible job through people. But Thursday night came, and there were people there, maybe 1,000 people, I don't know. And then a lot of people watching. We are at Branson, and Keith flies back and forth from Branson to Sarasota, Florida. He has two churches, one there and one in Branson. This seminar was being held in Branson. And so the people in Sarasota were watching also. So I don't know how much money came in through them. But that night, while we were there, Thursday night, they took up $3.75 million. Cash, no pledges, just cash in hand. And I assume, we haven't heard, but I assume by the end of Friday night they took up $4 million. And then you might say, why in the world would you need $4 million to build if you saw the porches? They ain't exactly porches. You know, it'd make a nice house. But the thing about it is, again, I really believe, this is just me, and I don't think we heard Keith say this, God is interested in the small things. And $4 million is a small deal to him. But to us, it might be a little bit bigger. Two porches. God just loves his people. Amen? He loves us enough to show us that he's faithful. And then he asks you and me. And that's why I'm getting ready to read. It starts out, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. It goes on to say, but if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. God is showing you and me that we need to be involved and be faithful in the small things. We in this world, the world says it like this, and I was sharing this with Debbie just recently, Pastor Debbie, and I said, the world constantly says, don't sweat the small things. God says, be faithful in them. It's the little things left undone that will come to unravel you. The Bible says in Solomon, I'll share this scripture with you in a little while, but it talks about the little foxes spoiling the vine. I'll share with you why that happens and what the enemy wants to do with that. So you won't be honest with greater responsibilities if you're dishonest in those little things. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And then I wanted to read that same passage of scripture again, as I did last week, out of the Passion Translation, because it is just so wonderfully written in this. But it reads like this, starting in Luke 16, verse 10 in the Passion, says, the one who faithfully manages the little he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with little they have, with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? And if you've not proven yourself faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? It is impossible for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You will be forced to love one and reject the other. One master will be despised, and the other will have your loyal devotion. Your choice between God and the wealth of this world is no different. You must enthusiastically love one and definitively reject the other. Gotten quiet in this Pentecostal church. But three things that come out of this verse, especially out of the Passion Translation, is God will look at three different areas in our life. He who faithfully manages little. And then it goes on to say, and he who handles the riches of this world with integrity. He's looking for that. How do you handle money? The money of this world. Because the money, we all know that when the end time comes and end of our time comes personally, that there's nothing we can take with us. The only thing we can take with us is what we send on to God. Amen. There's an avenue to get it there, but it's before we die. It's not after we die. And then the third thing that God's looking at is if you've not proven yourself faithful with what belongs to another. In other words, do you treat other people's stuff the way you treat your own? And now let me just stop and say this, and this will help a lot of you as I go on. God's not looking for people to be perfect in this. He's just looking for them to trust Him who is perfect to help you grow in these things. Because I don't know about you, but there's people that I'm amazed, but I also think it's where people are. I went to a Promise Keepers, and I remember when, what's the former Colorado coach's name, Bill McCartney, thank you. And those are people that have given themselves to sports and they need to come back, but anyhow. But I remember Bill McCartney saying this. He said, the reason we didn't call it Promise Makers, because there's too many people that are just promise makers and they haven't become promise keepers. You make a promise, you keep it. And so we went to a Promise Keepers meeting in Tulsa, in Mile High Stadium, the old one. And it was filled with about 50,000 men. I mean, men from all over the United States, all over the world, actually. And we took a pretty good sized group of men from this church. And I remember we stopped to get gas on the way back. We'd just been to a full day a Promise Keeper, celebrating Jesus with 50-some thousand men. Literally, that stadium was packed. Not only the arena part where they normally sit to watch a football game, but they had the field covered with chairs as well. So that was filled up, plus everything in the stadium was filled up. It was amazing. And we had people there that from all different denominations, men that were there. That we had Presbyterian congregation represented. A lot of them got filled with the Holy Ghost, got their prayer language, and they went back changed. But we stopped at a filling station, and of course all the cars, vehicles going everywhere, the interstate was packed. As was the filling station, you had to wait in line to get so you could fill up with gas, and there was a couple of our vehicles waiting. I got mine filled up, and then the guy that was driving another one got filled up, and we got ready to go, and he said, Pastor, God just blessed us. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I went up to pay for it and somebody had paid the wrong bill and they paid ours. He said, God bless us. I said, no, He didn't bless us. That they didn't intend on paying yours. They just put it on the wrong one. So you need to go back in there and make that right. He said, you don't call that a blessing? No, we just came from Promise Keepers. And we're not going to drive home thinking we just openly refuse to keep a promise, to be a person. And see, one of the characteristics of being faithful is integrity, is honesty. Even if it costs you 30 or 40 bucks to be that, then go ahead and be that. It's worth the price. Amen. Jesus paid the price so that you wouldn't have to pay the price. He paid the price so you could get over things. And so we live in a world where really, it's no different today than it was 30 years ago, 40 years, 50 years. The Bible says when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? Will he find faithful people on this earth? My question is, will he find us? He'll find me. I just say all the time, Lord, here I am. Look no further. If you're looking for somebody to bless, here I am. If somebody turned down their blessing, I'll receive it for them. And maybe I can be a channel to get it to them. I'm just saying, we have an opportunity to become the most faithful generation up until this time. And then the ones that come after us can also become that. But I believe God's called us to be faithful people. And in this particular parable, Jesus is saying, you know, maybe you ought to take heart at what you're doing with a little and what you're doing with your money and what you're doing with considering worldly money and then what you're doing with what other people own. Take care of, you know, you, when you borrow something, you should treat it like it's your own. And if you take it back broken, you get an opportunity to go buy a new one. Amen. But what does it mean to be faithful? It means you become reliable. It means you become dependable. It means you become trustworthy. It means you become honest over and over and over again. And then you learn to be faithful over the little that you do have. And sometimes people, they will tell me all the time, Pastor, I just don't understand how I could afford to tithe. I just don't understand how you can afford not to. That part I don't understand because God's wanting the windows of heaven open up for you. And that's one of the things that tithing does for us. And some, it takes faith to tithe. And people all the time say, well, how do I know that tithing works? You won't know it until you do it. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Pastor Wes. I think I'll talk to the tree this week. Nice looking tree, by the way. Beautiful tree. Listen to what it says in Psalms 12:1, and this is, again, a scripture that I shared with you, but it's worth sharing. Psalm 12:1 out of the Amplified, help, Lord, for principled and godly people are here no more. Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men. Isn't that terrible? We actually see that happening in our society. And I know that you can probably see it happening in other cultures around the world, but I'm saying we have a character problem on this earth. We have a character problem. Proverbs 26 says it like this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? We've got some in this church. We got some faithful men and women in this church. People of integrity. Amen. Bless God, we can find them in this church. I believe they can be found in any church, but I believe God wants us to be firm, stable, reliable, dependable, loyal, trustworthy, and work on those things on a regular basis. Anybody ever gone through a drive-through bank and got more money than you? I have. I got $50 too much one time. Got all the way home, counted the money. They gave me too much money. So I got back in my car. Everybody say he got back in his car. And I went to Dairy King and bought a peanut butter part. No. I did. I drove right back to the bank. And I drove. That same gal was there. And I said, ma'am, I said, when I came through, I cashed a check and you gave me $50 too much. And she said, no, I didn't. I said, yep, count your cash drawer. And I said, I'm leaving the 50 with you. I know you don't settle till the end of the day, but when you settle, you're going to find yourself $50 short in your cash box. And about 5:45, she called me and said, Mr. Oakley, I want to thank you. I said, well, you're welcome. Send me a tithe. No, I'm thinking, what would have happened if I would have kept that 50? And then they would have called me and said, Mr. Oakley, did you keep your $50, extra $50? I think we maybe gave too much to you. And then I could have had an opportunity then to lie or tell the truth. Well, I didn't want to even get there. I mean, you just go do and take care of what's necessary. I haven't always done this perfect. I just want you to understand. But do it as best you can. Be honest with just the little things. At that time, real honestly, I could have used the 50 bucks. But I could use God's favor much more. Those are little things, but they're just little godly things. And we don't want the world to have its way into our life in any way. One of the names, and I'm reading this to you, and I want to maybe have Debbie come up in a little bit. But one of the names that Jesus is referred to in is out of Revelation 19:11, amplified. It said, after that I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it, which happens to be Jesus, is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment, wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. That's God. Jesus getting on that horse to come back. His name is faithful and true, and that's who he's looking for. And being faithful and true to yourself is a big thing. Finding out who you are in Christ, that is the ultimate thing. Because when you begin to find out who you are, you live differently, you think differently. I believe this. I always wondered what it must be like to be a Rockefeller. And you know what? I'm still wondering. Because I'm not one. But if you're born in that family, even when you're born in as a little baby, all of a sudden, especially you're at the Nelson A. Rockefeller mansion, you're born into some wealth and that baby has no clue. But that's a Rockefeller. When he grows up, he's going to be a happy Rockefeller. But what we're finding out with some people like that, even people that are rich beyond our imagination, they're not always that happy of a people. Because wealth in itself cannot make you happy. Now I grant you, it can do it for a short season. But if you're looking to wealth to make you happy, you're looking in the wrong direction. And the only thing that can truly can make you happy is your relationship with God. But it satisfies you inside. A faithful man wants to please God. Father, I want to please you more than anything else should be our thought every day we get up, every moment when we think about him. God, what can I do to please you? And I'm thinking about this type of faithfulness, and I was reminded of the story of David. And David's used as an example in a lot of ways. But one of the examples that just is amazing to me is this. Saul was after him, and Saul wanted David removed from this earth. That means he really preferred to have him dead. And David at one time made his way into the camp of Saul, and he even got by the guards. And Saul was literally at his mercy. David took his spear, the kingly spear, and took it back with him and got up on the side of a mountain and yelled back down, "Hey, Saul, I had an opportunity to take you out. But I understand this. I'll not touch God's anointed, nor will I do his prophets any harm." Now, most of our imagination or in our thinking, we'd think he had a right to take him out, but he did not. And here's how he says it in 1 Samuel 26, verse 23 through 24. After he responded to Saul, David says, "The Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal. And I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power." Who placed him in his power? You start going after God's people and God's going to put you in some precarious situations. I promise you. Amen. And that includes all of us. "I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one. Now may the Lord value my life even as I have valued yours. May he rescue me from all my troubles." David understood some laws of sowing and reaping. A faithful man does the right thing even if it causes him to suffer to his own hurt. In the world's eyes and other men following David, they're going, "Take him out, take him out, take him out." And David shows them by example, that's not going to happen. When people have done you wrong, how does your heart process it? Well, bless God, they need to pay. Not a good way to process it. They will pay, but that's not your job to make them pay. Years ago. Everybody say years ago. And I do mean years ago. It's when I was here as an associate pastor and the church wasn't even here. It was down on 12th and Oak. And the pastor at that time was teaching some stuff out of a book called Atlas Shrugged. And it was just very, it was based upon extreme capitalism. And for several weeks he taught on it. Just kind of made a series out of it. And I really didn't like it. And he probably could tell by my demeanor sitting out in the congregation that Wes doesn't like this. You know, I can tell sometimes when I'm looking out here, don't get me wrong, I can read you sometimes. I'm saying they're having a hard time with Pastor Wes right now, but I'm going to give them something to chew. Because I'm not here to make you happy, I'm here to tell you the truth. No, I like you to be happy, you're a lot easier to deal with. But this went on for several weeks, and one Monday morning, I'm sitting in my office, and he comes in and sits on the corner of my desk, and he says this. He said, you got to understand, we have a long-term relationship. We grew up together. His house in Lakin, Kansas, where we grew up, was about a block from him. He asked, he said, you don't agree with what I'm teaching about this stuff? And I said, none of it. Then he asked me kind of an interesting question. He said, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. Not my job to do anything about it. He said, just checking. Got him walked out. We're still friends to this day. Now for me, I didn't like what was being taught. But hopefully, sometimes we're bigger than the spirit of offense trying to get on us. Because that's what the enemy's wanting to do. He's wanting you to get offended. And when he gets you into a position of being offended, he can become your best enemy. So I said all that to say this. If I say something to tick you off, you better forgive me. It'd be well for you. It will work well for you. And likewise, if I do something to offend you, I need to make it right. We got to be quick to do that. Can you say amen? But David just said, listen, I understand. The Lord gave you into my hand. And I could have taken your life. But I know better. I'm not going to touch God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. Amen. And because of that, he said, I know I'm going to be delivered from all my troubles. How many of you know David had some? And yet God called David, who really messed up in his life, committed adultery, committed murder, committed treason, if you will, against God. There came a time where God said, he's a man after my own heart. That just shows me that God really loves you and he wants to make things right in your life. David understood that. So we have in our lives the opportunity to really share our faith in a world that doesn't know faithfulness. The reason we can share that so clearly is because we have a God that will never fail. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse, it talks about the love of God never failing us. How would you like to serve a God who never fails you? So when you do go into a season of challenge and you look like things are falling apart, how do you respond to that? Because I'm telling you, God's got a whole bunch of good planned for you. On down the road. It may not be looking that way today, but it's coming your way, I promise you. God is faithful. And you have to understand that we're in this world. We're in this world where the Bible says there's one that's called the God of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And God, the Bible said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We're here to bless God, take it back. And I remember me learning this. I learned it a long time ago, but I have to remind myself of this on a regular basis. When we get into a battle, we don't start at the point of defeat. We start at the point of victory. We start at victory and we enforce what God has done for us. A faithful man will take the word of God and apply it right there on top of the mountain. You may stumble, you may roll down a little bit, but bless God, you get back up, raise up that standard of God, and you get back to the top where you belong. And it takes a while to get there sometimes. The reason it takes so long sometimes is because we're human. And we have to figure out a way to shut our flesh off, to shut our wrong thinking off, and get to the place where we think, God, you're awesome. You're never going to let me down. He's never going to let me down. Never. never going to let me down. So time and again in the Bible, you'll read through and see different characters. I'm looking for that mic.
It's up here.
Oh, right where I left it. So I'm going to have Debbie come up and just share a little bit about some of the characters that she had, especially when we start talking about faithfulness. I always tell her teasingly, don't mess this up. But she won't. But yeah, take your liberty.
Well, thank God. You know, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God is faithful. And there's many of scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament, talking about the faithfulness of God. But you know, that same scripture, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says God is faithful. You know, we say that. I would say that all the time. But then it goes on to say that God is not only faithful, but even the rest part of the verse is that He's called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. So faithfulness is not just, it is being dependable, accountable, trustworthy, reliable, dependable. It is all those things, but God has called us into fellowship with Him. So if we'll be in fellowship with Him through His Word and by praying every day, praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up, then we come into fellowship with Him. We take on His nature. We take on His character. His character, and we can be faithful. You know, every person in this room, every person really in the whole wide world has the ability to be faithful. We just make choices whether we're going to, whether this is going to take us over, whether we're called this direction, but you know, things over here will lure us away, and this over here, you know, voices calling us and do this and do that. But yeah, thank you. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise, He can be depended upon by Him you are called into companionship. What is that? The Amplified, but King James says we're being called into fellowship with the One who is faithful. And because He is faithful, He'll talk to us. His Word will minister to us. So His Word will enable us. But to me, being faithful, and I'm talking about to the Lord, to the body of Christ, to the plan of God for our individual lives and for the plan of God for every local church, we have to do what we do because we love Him. Because He's changed us. I don't know about you, but I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was 16 years old, and I remember we went to church, Christmas, Easter, and a few other little times throughout those years growing up. But I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, I mean, I changed. Something inside my belly changed. And I remember that I had a peace, an overwhelming peace in my heart, my life, that I had never had before. And I just knew I was changed. I did not know what happened except I'd received the Lord. I knew I was on my way to heaven. I didn't know that I was a spirit, that the real me that you can't see was going to heaven. And so I began to learn. But I guess I say all these things in order to be faithful. We're called to be faithful. But we should be faithful because we love Him. My Lord, He paid it such a great price for us. He gave His life. He gave His blood. He gave everything so that we could be, God live inside of us. Now we're on our way to heaven, but in the process we serve Him with our heart, with our life, with our family, with everything. And so God has a great plan, not only for your life, but He has a great plan for every local church. And you know, Psalm 68 verse 11 tells us that the Lord gives the word. I think that's the way it says. The Lord gives the word, and great is the company that publish it. That means great is the people or the company or the army that brings it to pass. I mean, He brings it to pass through His power, but we are the ones who are, you know, the agents, His people in the earth, His ambassadors, His workers. So God gives one word, and it takes an army. Are you with me? It takes an army. So Westview has a mighty, God has a mighty, His mighty hands on you, your pastor, and this whole body. We're all called here because of what God wants to do here in Hayes and beyond. And it's so wonderful to think, I'm from the east side of the state. I know Topeka pretty well. I know Lawrence a little bit, Kansas City just a teeny bit. I know some of our surrounding cities a half hour, 45 minutes out of Topeka. But I am learning. I mean, there is Stockton. There is Lakin. There is Dodge. Now, I've heard of Dodge City, with Wyatt and all his crew. I think he's from Dodge, right? Or Gunsmoke. But anyway, don't tell me, Ulysses. Don't tell me. Garden City. Yes, that place. I laughed when I heard them say that. It was in a conversation a few weeks ago. I heard them say that. And these two ladies are talking, and she goes, yeah, we're going to go to Shim Shim. Is that what you say? Shin Shin? And the other one comes back and says, yeah, we're going to go to Shin Shin. And then the one says, Shin Shin. And it's like, this is a little Chinese town. What is this here? But you just begin to find out all different places in the middle of the state, now southwest side of the state. And it's like, oh, my Lord, this is so fun, finding more places that they're in the world. But so y'all really have a great outreach and a great opportunity and a great stretch. Not only Hayes being the hub, but just being able to go wherever and all these people coming in from Victoria, Russell. Yeah. I just thought they were signs on the highway. Now I'm getting to see a few. In fact, Pastor Russ, we were coming back yesterday or a couple of days ago from my daughter's in Tulsa and her family for Thanksgiving. We were on our way just getting ready to pass Russell and wanted to know if we wanted to stop in Russell to see where Seth and Brandy and their family had lived for a while. So we took a little tour. Yes, I like this. This is fun. So my point in all of this is that it takes an army, and it takes an army of faithful people. And it takes God gives a word. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to teach the word of God so that people's lives will no longer be victims, but they'll be victors and learn how to stand tall, no longer bent over and their eyes looking down in pain and shame of depression. But oh, give life and give the light of God's word and preach it good. Preach it to the kids. Let the kids hear, the babies hear, the preschoolers, the grade schoolers, the high schoolers, the college and on up. Everybody hearing such good news. They don't have to be afraid. Don't have to, back to this porches that we gave toward that. It was so exciting. The fact that, bless the Lord, God just likes blessing His people right in the middle of depression, right in the middle of recession, right when the world's having woes. God is saying, hey, it's going to cost $2 million for each of these porches, and we're just going to build porches so that my people, when they come in, they don't have to be rained on, they don't have to have the snow on them, and I just want to bless them. But like the carnal mind thinks, and I've dealt with it, oh, I got to cut back. We got to cut back. Can't do this. Got to do that. The government says this is. Oh, but bless the Lord. Thinking big. Thinking out of the box. Thinking we're going forward. That makes us distinguish. Why? Because our eyes are on God. While the world's having their woes, we're going to be able to continue to have our wows. Look what the Lord has done. What He's doing is, and praise the Lord. I'm sorry. But let me just say a couple things here. There are several people in the New Testament. We won't read too much about them, but they are called faithful people. And I would just say, let me look at a couple things here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, he's talking to the saints who are at Ephesus, and he says, and to the faithful in Christ. And in Colossians 1, verse 2 says, to the saints and brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, grace to you and peace to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here in both of these scriptures, both of these greetings to these churches, one in Ephesus and one in Colossae, the greeting was to those who are the saints and also those who are faithful. The Amplified says faithful and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me kind of wonder if he's making a distinguish between the saints and the faithful. There's a lot of people, if you're born again, you're a saint. You become new creatures in Christ Jesus and the faithful, meaning there might be a distinction from those who are just saved and just love the Lord, but really aren't doing, not contributing, not bringing their supply, not learning what's the God has placed them in the earth, and not and placed them in the body of Christ to do particular things. So we could read several, but if you take the time. I don't want to take the time. I see the time. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 16, 17, and 18, talking about, I think it's Onesiphorus. His name means profitable. And he was not ashamed. The Bible says, Paul writes here, he says, this man was not ashamed that Paul was in chains. And it said that when he came to Rome, he looked and he sought out to find Paul, knowing that he was in prison, he came, and the Bible, Paul says in the Bible that this gentleman, Onesiphorus, he refreshed Paul, and he brought comfort to Paul, he brought strength to him, and that he was not ashamed, that Paul was in, chains. And then he goes on to speak a blessing to his family, this man's family, and mercy upon Onesiphorus and his family for all the labor and all the work and all the faithfulness that he had been to Paul. There are several others, Epaphras, and then there's Epaphroditus, and then there's Timothy. There's others in the New Testament, who they were faithful. And they were not only faithful, but they were faithful ministers. They didn't start out as great, probably, great ministers, but sitting under the ministry of Paul and doing whatever Paul had need of. He needed some back in the nursery to help love those little kids and feed them bite-sized lessons on God and how He loves them and that there's Abraham and then there's Moses and the Daniels, but teaching these little ones in bite-sized pieces. And then our children the same way. Paul probably needed somebody back in children's church, many of them, to go back and minister and love those kids. Many people out in the parking lot, many people out in greeting, and many people on the soundboard. You know, a lot of these people, you don't even see them. You don't even know they're there. But they are enabling the ministry of the word to go forth with strength and without distraction, even as we gather this morning. And lives are changed. I guess go back to that God is faithful, and we are called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Meaning, with that being said, that God is faithful, He's called us into fellowship, meaning we take on His heart. We take on His purpose, why we are here, that we are not only to love Him, to honor Him with our heart, with our life, but then we can serve Him and serve His plan, and that is to love people. That is to build people. That is to see people born again, see people filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I like that. Filled with the Holy Ghost, people healed, people delivered. There is a God. And so I guess being faithful, part of the things I would just add to so many of the good things that Pastor Wes has said, but just realizing why we serve. Why do we serve? Back in Topeka as well, people come and they'll work 40 hours a week, 40 hours a week come in. They have little ones that need to be fed before they come to church, and they come in at 6:15, 6:30 for a 7 o'clock service. They're weary, they're kind of tired, thinking, I'd rather stay home. I've worked all day, some of them more than that, but they come, and it's not long after we come, and they get strengthened, their hearts get blessed, and then a lot of them are serving. You know, they just didn't come in and just sit down, they're serving. Oh, but there is rewards. There is rewards for the faithful. You may not, everybody may not know who you are, maybe not know your name, maybe not know what you do. But bless the Lord, God does. And He sees you, He sees your labor of love, and He is the rewarder. And I think that we've got several children's ministry workers who, they worked for, probably a good 25 plus years back in our preschool area. Miss Margie, and then there's Miss Patty. They've served in our children's department. And now they've been there so long, and they still do well. Those kids love them. They just, you know, they might be a little bit older, but those kids love them. They just do. They just love, but now they're in the place where they're The ones that have been in the preschool are now married and now having little kids. But just thinking all those kids that maybe you and I don't know who they are, but those little kids, they look back and think, that lady, that man served God. That man waved at me when I was feeling so bad, when I drove up to church and I, you know, didn't think I could make it. But because they had their doors open, they had happy people, they had people full of joy, I could come in and I heard things that I thought about. I remember, you mind one more? I remember, he'll come to me. His name will come to me. It's just a real good name. Norval Hayes. He was second one time, and he's in heaven now. But I remember one time he was sitting in a restaurant, and I think it was by himself, and a man and his two sons came in. The boys were early grade school, maybe one in grade school, maybe the other one not quite in grade school yet. And the man came in and he was just kind of depressed and looking down, sad and, you know, kind of, you know, depressed. And his boys were with him and somehow Mother Norval just had his heart to talk to those boys, just kind of reach across the table or across the aisle, you know, there's a gap there, cut the boys and just kind of made small talk with the boys. And the dad didn't want to offer anything. He was just to himself and just, you know, depressed and all. And a little bit conversation went on, and finally the dad kind of entered in, and Brother Norval, through whatever time they had, 10, 15, 20 minutes, they spent time together, they all got to talking, and this man gave his heart to the Lord. And the boys, they got saved. And the next, you know, was all excited, this family, this man and his two sons got saved. And the next day they were checking out of their hotel. Brother Norval ran into these guys again, and the man wanted to tell him, thanked him so much, because he had just already decided before he walked in that restaurant he was going to feed these boys, and then he was going to take his gun and kill himself and his boys. And so maybe not this that drastic here, every service or anything like that, but there are people that need you. They need you to serve. They need, whether you're a grade schooler, whether you're a junior higher, or wherever you are in life, serve God. Serve God and let Him love people through you. And make, so I think about these people out in the parking lot or the doors, wherever. You're the first people see. And they think you like what you're gonna see. Because they love God and they love their pastor. They love their church. They love their church family. And this is a good place to be. This is a safe place to be. And we have to be faithful. And we can't say, well, it doesn't matter if I don't show up. It does matter if you don't show up. It's back home. I know when some things aren't quite right. And I walk out and walk out here and I see some stuff that's not right on the platform. Some of the things that are going on, it hinders me from being able to have peace, because all of a sudden my mind goes off and I'm dealing with something over there that I shouldn't have to be dealing with. I just way got off, sorry. But anyway, I will sit down and I will hush, but I tell you, you are very important. Your church family, your pastor, your church family, the assignment is given. Orders are given, but it takes an army to bring it to pass. And no one is insignificant, and no one is unnecessary. We all are called, and we all have a supply that the Word of God will build us and bring us supply. And you may not be the best. Oh, but you just do it with joy, and people come alongside you and help you, and you'll just get better and better, stronger and stronger, and together we'll all lock arms, lock hands, and see the will of God done, and Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Praise.
Well, I was going to say all those things, and I knew she had something that would touch your heart. I don't have a whole lot more, except one example that in just getting ready for today, there's so many things you can say about faithfulness, and you can say about living this life. But I was thinking of we're told in the Book of Solomon, I believe the second chapter, where they're talking and they are told that they're destroyed for lack, not for, this is little foxes that spoil the vine. My heart was touched and I fervently sang to him my desire. Take for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards of our love, for our vineyards are in blossom. And then back in chapter 1, it's talking about how she responded with this part of her song. She was given charge over the vineyard. And so one of the things that they had to do in those days, they had to keep the foxes out because the foxes would come. They'd get fat eating the grapes. They would just have they'd have a party and they would eat everything. And so she said, what I need is some help because the little foxes they'll literally spoil the vineyard. And when she was talking about it, you can relate it to this and what it did. She said, I was given that charge, but now I am coming to my groom. And if the little foxes, I don't have help with them, then I'm not going to have opportunity to become intimate with my groom. And brothers and sisters, you can relate that to the spiritual. It's the little foxes in everyday life that really come in to hinder us from our intimate relationship with the groom. And she said one of the things, and that she talked about in 1 Corinthians 1, is that we come in that we have good, solid companionship. We have intimate relationship with the Lord. And yet it's just the little things a lot of times that keep us from being intimate with our Savior. And man, what a great joy when you enter into that, when you're touched by God, when you're really touched by His emotions. When you have opportunity in yourself, and I don't know that, I don't always look for a feeling, but when my feelings line up with loving God, I love them. Because it just shows me how compassionate God is. I am not God, but when I can learn to be compassionate like Him, and when I can see people through the eyes of faith, and see how God cares about them, how God wants to do great things in their life, I don't want the little foxes to spoil my life. And the little foxes could be good or bad. You know, the foxes, the little baby foxes are cute until it starts growing up. And while it's growing up, it's eating all your vineyard. Not so cute anymore. But that's usually what little things in our life do. They begin small, and because we don't attend to them, they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon they hinder you from really walking with God the way God wants you to walk with Him. Amen? So I think that, and so I always say, people come up afterwards, I preach like, well, what can I do to be faithful? And, you know, and if somebody asks you to do something and it's involved with ministry, I would say, give it your best shot. Because looking around here, I look at people that are, all of you are busy. You're busy. I'm kind of busy, but in a good way. I love doing what I'm doing. And so if we all love what we're doing, I'm just saying, give yourself the benefit of the doubt that God wants to use you. And sometimes He uses you in areas that you don't think you're qualified in. Most of the time, probably. God never has called, as one wise man said, God has never called the qualified. He brings in the disqualified, and then He qualifies them. That's what God does. And so the more we can help with what God's doing, you know, I listen to people from time to time, the excuses they give for not being in church, the excuses they give for not helping in church, the excuses they give for just not doing something, because you need to give out. You don't want to stand before God and God say, look what all I had for you, and you kept turning it down. You kept letting that little fox grow up. And somewhere along the line, you just got to take charge over it. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. That was good. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm telling you, that's full supply. And He also has you lay down by still waters. He wants you to be at rest. I mean, the sheep do the best when they're calm in life. And that's what the great shepherd wants to do in your and my life. He wants to help calm us down. And then once you begin walking that way, the Bible says surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days. How many days? Of your life. And we all need that in our lives. Can you say amen to that? Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Everybody say never. Say it again, never. Never will God let me down. You believe that? You heard me say this last week, I think, but the hardest thing to do, and I think it was Keith Moore said this, and I understand that. He said, the hardest thing to do sometimes is trust God when you don't understand. But you often have to remember, God's not your problem. He's your solution. Amen. So repeat this after me today. Father, today, I say, have your way in me. Help me to become that person that you created me to be. That I fulfill your purpose on this side of heaven in Jesus' name. And that I be a willing participant to the ongoing growth of the kingdom of God. I want to do my share. I do not want to come behind in any good thing. I want your hand on me. I want it strong on me to guide me and direct me as only you know how to direct me. And today I say thank you for your goodness and for your mercy in my life. And I will extend that to others in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you said amen and amen. Well, tell everybody that's sitting close by to you that you're highly favored of God. And you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.